Welcome to another episode of Blown Away, a fandom podcast. Blown Away is a class project of Jams 855, participatory cultures in the digital era. I'm your host, Oscar Harding, and today's episode is all about bronies. Yeah, hang on a minute, come back. A bit of context if you don't know who or what bronies are. They're adult male fans of My Little Pony. Yeah, that cartoon toy range aimed at young girls. I'll be getting into specifics in a minute, but I should probably answer your first question. Why focus on this? Well, on the surface, it's all a bit weird, isn't it? Grown men being interested in a show meant for young girls. Is this a genuine appreciation or something a bit more, well, off? I'm approaching this from a completely neutral stance. I don't know this community, I've never watched this show, and I really don't know much about the context behind it all. So I needed some help. I spoke to a brony over Skype and another kindly answered my questions over email, which I will be narrating. We'll call them Ray and Bill. We'll be hearing from them throughout this episode. I'll be narrating Bill's answers. Ray can speak for himself. Thing is, bronies are on the decline, so this is more of a post-mortem, I suppose, than an investigation. Let's start with what this is all about. My Little Pony has been running since the 1980s with a show dubbed Generation 1, or G1. After a long hiatus where the toy line was still running, the TV show returned in its fourth iteration, or G4, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. This was the turning point, and this is where this whole fan base sprung from. Bill actually sums up events pretty well. I'll be reading out his answer, which hopefully sets up context for how and why bronies came to be. Over to Bill. Back in 2011, a critic made a highly critical review of the show. It was titled somewhere along the lines of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic is Everything Wrong with Modern Children's Television. This review was posted to 4chan. In typical 4chan fashion, they laughed at it and then gave the show a watch ironically, and ended up hooked. This was the start of the brony fandom, which remained on 4chan for a time and even started its own website, before the wider 4chan community took offense at the presence of the bronies, and began to widely ban anyone posting pony content. This is the source of a Mods Are Asleep Post Ponies meme image. The bronies left their own websites and gaming platforms and began to make memes about the show and referenced it extremely frequently. That got the interest of other people who investigated and liked it. Those people then began to make memes, reference the show, and spread it across their communities. It spread like wildfire. The fandom reached its height around 2013 and has been slowly declining ever since, though there is still a large number of dedicated fans. Most likely those who liked it most have stayed the longest, which is why the fandom's creative side is still running extraordinarily strong. And thus, the Brony was born.
Oh hi, I'm Karen Hiscox, and this episode is sponsored by Squirtable. Squared Space and Audible came together to help offer the best place to make websites for your audiobook services. Use the offer code PONY20 at the checkout and get your first decade completely free. Squirtable, for all your audiobook website needs.
We need to talk about glopping and wing boners. Now, I am sorry you've had to hear these words and never be able to unhear them, so I'll keep it brief here. The latter, I think you can guess what that might be an equivalent to. Clopping is, well, derived from the onomatopoeic word clop, used to describe the sound of a pony's hooves striking a hard surface. I'm sure you can figure out the rest. These terms seem especially weird considering most of the characters on this show are female. It's this kind of terminology that sets alarm bells ringing, and I would argue one of the main reasons for the kind of ridicule and mockery that bronies face. This goes beyond liking a show designed for kids. Plenty of adults watch Disney movies, not necessarily anything weird about it, but this is something different. So when we add this dimension to the whole brony equation, what are we meant to think? We need someone who's going to defend against it. After the break, we'll be speaking to Ray in more detail.
I'm Cornelius Ratchet, no, the other one, and I'm the host of the History of Thumbtacks, a Spotify original podcast. What seemed like a fascinating journey into the thumbtack reveals a terrifying conspiracy going all the way to the White House. Thumbtacks have never been more exciting. Listen to the History of Thumbtacks only on Spotify.
I needed to actually speak to a brony. Enter Ray.
I'm 18 and I'm based in the UK.
Side note, Bill is also based in the UK and is 23 years old. Surprisingly, I was unable to secure an interview with a brony from the US. Goes to show the international appeal of this show, I suppose. Here's our interview in full, which I'll be intersecting with Bill's answers, read by me.
How did you discover the show My Little Pony Friendship is Magic?
Well, I've always known about it, because it's like 10 years old now, but back in October of 2019, me and my girlfriend started talking about it for seemingly no reason. So when the lockdown happened in April, I decided out of curiosity to start watching it, and I've never gone back.
There are a few intersecting ways I heard about it. First, back in 2012, the height of the fandom, pony memes flooded the internet and I felt I was missing out. I grew increasingly tempted to check it out, especially as gaming communities I was involved with at the time had an increasing population of bronies. I intended to watch it for months and never got around to it until a friend who was a non-brony suggested I take the plunge. As they said, it appeals to people like me. Guess they were right, I stuck with it until the show ended in late 2019, 7 years later, never missing an episode.
What about it appealed to you?
Well, at first it was just curiosity and I really enjoyed the art style. But after about 4 seasons, I really got attached to the characters and story.
What do you think is the appeal of the show?
For a lot of other fans of the show that I have talked to, it's just that it's so different to a lot of other kids' TV shows. There's a lot of heart involved in the writing and the characterization. So I think that has something to do with it.
Bill again. My Little Pony obviously attracts a lot of people. Some, I'm sure, watched it in their youth. But if you're talking about bronies, the entire internet phenomenon it generated creates curiosity and the feeling of missing out if you don't watch it. And the fan creations do add a lot of enjoyment to the base material. The characters are likable and everyone can relate to at least one character. They're archetypes, though they get a bit less extreme as time goes on. A mix of action and slice of life can attract audiences who have very different priorities in what they enjoy, as does the lore. You can enjoy the show without paying any attention to one aspect, but to those people who enjoy that aspect, it is present. The show's very visually attractive. It's animated in Flash, and the animations are extremely smooth for the most part. Again, getting better in later seasons.
Can you tell me what it's like being part of the fan base and the community? I'm assuming since you got into it during lockdown, you haven't been attending conventions, and you've probably stuck to the whatever message boards or forums there are. Have you made any friends with other members of the fan base?
Unfortunately, yes. With lockdown, there's been no conventions or anything like that here, even for ones I would normally go to, like for gaming and stuff. But it is really good to have met some interesting people online. And the community has just welcomed me with open arms, even though I'm new.
So
the only person I know in real life physically who's also a fan is my girlfriend, who I managed to persuade to get into the show.
So that's actually something I'd be interested in. Obviously, when we think of bronies, we do think of sort of older men who get into this show. But I'm assuming your girlfriend's around the same age as you.
Yeah, she's the same age as me.
Yeah. How does she refer to herself then?
She calls herself a Pegasister, which is the female equivalent to a brony.
Right, okay. Has she sort of connected with many Pegasuses?
No, because she doesn't spend as much time online as I do.
There are those who don't understand the appeal of the show to older men, and they ridicule them for their appreciation of this show. Why do you think that is, and how would you respond to that criticism?
Well, it's clearly just because we're not the target audience. The target audience is younger girls, and it's seen as abnormal for the complete opposite of older males to be interested in the show. But everybody has an equal right to like or dislike what they want, just as long as they don't ridicule others for an interest.
These people view the show as not having changed from its historical norm, and especially the extremely saccharine, low-quality shows that came before it. The response is that the show they're thinking of is not the show it is now. They wouldn't expect it to have high-quality music and animation, plot lines including parasitic shapeshifters who replace people, a world reduced to ashes after a time travel mishap and such. My suggestion would be to give the show a try, or at least watch a scene, and in particular, watch one of the premieres or finales. Those are generally not what those people would expect, though there are some bad choices.
How do those outside of the fan base react to your appreciation of the show, so friends, family?
Generally neutral. Any who are confused, I show a particular scene which would conflict with what they expect, and after that they have without fail stated they could understand why I'd watch it.
It was quite hard at first for me to admit to some of my friends and family, and there are still a few who I have not explicitly told, but they all kind of just took it as it was. Like, my mum just said that it was something that I liked, everyone could like their own things, and my friends were all, they were more surprised that I thought that they would judge me for it. So they're all fine with it, and like I say, I managed to persuade my girlfriend to watch the show, and she's a fan of it now. And a lot of my birthday and Christmas presents have included My Little Pony-related items.
So you mentioned you introduced your girlfriend to it. Was she sort of initially hesitant to get into a show like My Little Pony, or...?
Well, she's very similar to me. We're both maybe 18, but we're both just big kids. We both had things that we enjoyed for children anyway. I've always been a fan of Thomas and Friends, and she always liked things like Little Pet Shop. So it wasn't very hard to convince her, and she very much enjoyed it. It took a few seasons, and she's just as into it as I am now.
One particular sticking point of that criticism is those that think there's more to a Brony's involvement in the community than just appreciating the show, perhaps relating to the terms wing-boner and clopping. Do you understand where that criticism is coming from, and how does a genuine fan of the show counteract such criticism? In your experience, is there an element of this from certain corners of the community? I don't think those terms are responsible for many people becoming Bronies. If anything, that would be a vanishingly small minority. Becoming a Brony is certainly a gateway to getting into that side of the fandom, but it does seem to have grown over time. It does exist, but not all Bronies are into it. There is something to be said for various analyses I've seen which have stated that the anthropomorphic shapes of the ponies, and they are somewhat anthropomorphic, especially in the head shape, eye colours and hair, somehow glitches people's brains to accept the characters in that way after enough exposure and perhaps some other triggers, but I couldn't say. One answer I'd give is that every fandom on the planet has that kind of element. Bronies aren't an exception to the rule.
What do you think is the most common misconception about Bronies?
I think probably the most common misconception about Bronies is the assumption that most or all of them are sexually attracted to the characters, followed by misconceptions about what we actually like about the show. The final misconception would be what our lives are like outside of the show. People generally think Bronies are low educated with few job prospects, but as far as I can tell, but that is inaccurate. There is a sizable number of military men in the fandom, along with visual effects artists and such. The self-made millionaire Gabe Newell once revealed he was a Brony, though he's since stopped watching the show. I have a degree in human biosciences. One Brony works at MIT and used the show to create an artificial intelligence that can mimic the voice of any character in response to the end of the show. The AI has since broadened to other characters and is an extremely impressive technological feat inspired by the show.
It goes back to the question that you tried to ask earlier about the clock and the inappropriate fan art that some fans create. And I think there's a negative stereotype about how most, if not all, fans are like that, and they're really not. A lot of us actually have a distaste for people who proclaim to be fans and just try to tarnish our image by creating said art.
So how does a genuine fan counteract criticism like that from people who don't really know what it is, and they think there's more to your sort of appreciation for the show and involvement in the community than just liking the show and being into some of that stuff?
Well, most fans kind of just counteract it almost by ignoring it. We can, a lot of the phrase agree to disagree gets used a lot because, you know, if you don't like the show, we're not going to make you like the show, but you also can't make us not like.
We'll be right back.
What's up? Steven Tyler of Aerosmith here, here to tell you about our latest venture, AeroSwitch. Tired of breathing the same old air? AeroSwitch is here to help. Simply sign up, exhale into a jar, send it via free postage, and when someone receives the air you breathe, you'll be sent theirs. Just hold your breath until it arrives. There's a variety of countries and environments to choose from. My favorite is asthmatic Inuit from the Arctic Circle. Join for free today and receive your first jar of air absolutely free.
So, have I been convinced to watch an episode of this show? No, not really. Not really my thing. Have bronies been given a bad rap because of a very odd minority of their community? I think so, yeah. Ray and Bill convinced me. Do I think it's odd they like a show like My Little Pony? Well, they've said it themselves. It's not harming anyone. They're not forcing others to like it. Frankly, there are some much, much strainer fan bases out there. Is there much life left in this show and this community now the show's finished? Well, Bill's been there for most of the journey, whereas Ray's only really just started. I think this is a genuine fandom, born out of irony, but fostered into something genuine. Quite why it's so male-centric, I'm not sure, but there are clearly female fans out there, dubbed Pegasus or Pegasi, as Ray explained. To each their own, I suppose. This has been Blown Away, a fandom podcast. I've been your host, Oscar Harding. Thank you for listening.